Hello and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I am your host, Audrey Wallace, and today our guest is Tim Romata. So here's some things that stood out to me with Tim's conversation. Really, it's kind of this like maturing, a constant maturing of his faith. So, for example, in his youth, he had a religion but not a relationship, he talks about. He talks about becoming a believer but not a follower, and then becoming a follower to just an obedient servant, even when things don't necessarily go the way he thought it was going to go. But he watched and he listened and he intentionally let God work it together for his good plan. Let's get into the story now. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Audrey. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
We're sitting here in a beautiful spring day. Did you get to see the rainbow that happened over Grace over the weekend?
No, I did not.
Did you even know about it?
No. When did that happen?
Saturday night. Walked out of service. Double rainbow, full arch across the sky.
Huh.
I'll show you a picture.
We were
later.
Here, too. I must have missed it.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you a picture. Anyways, if anybody here at Grace, if you got a picture of that, put it on, if you're on social media or something and you see this story, put it on there because I want to see more pictures of what happened that night. It was absolutely spectacular. But that's just this time of year, you know, renewal and new things. But what I want to hear is your renewal, your new things. I think that you've had quite a lot of them in most recent years, but we always like to start at the beginning.
Sure.
So tell me about your childhood, where you grew up, where you come from.
Yeah, so grew up just south of Cleveland in Parma, Ohio. That's where I was born.
Okay.
Lived most of my life in North Royalton, and I grew up Catholic, so I went to Catholic grade school, high school, college.
Okay.
Yeah, so sports was a really huge part of my life.
There's some heavy hitters up there. Were you like an Ignatius kid or something?
I was not Ignatius. Padua is where I went, Padua Franciscan High School, so in Parma. And yeah, so grew up Catholic. Didn't really have any real relationship with the Lord, even though I was around religion, if you will, my entire life. We kind of really went to church and did things with church when it was convenient for us. So I was a really good, pretty good student and really focused on my athletics and working out and doing all things really for that. So I played really baseball, football in high school, and then I went on to college to play baseball at Walsh University down in Canton.
Yeah.
So, and throughout that, really, that entire time, again, my focus was really on, you know, my friends, everything that was kind of pleasing to me, really whatever I wanted to kind of do, really God and church and all of that stuff was really just on the back burner, so wasn't really a big part of my life.
So, like with sports, was that was obviously fulfilling. Obviously, it sounds like you're pretty good at it. Baseball in college, like you're...
I dabbled. I was all right. I was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you know, and it's really interesting because like sports and you know traveling around playing in tournaments, whether it be baseball, doing different like combines for football or baseball, whatever it might have been. Yeah, I mean, definitely had a lot of college coaches look at me when I was in high school, and I would say that's probably like where the first part of my life I really started to hit like a roadblock because, you know, not really sick at all as a kid, and when I was in high school, I got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was 17. Yeah, and it's a disease of your colon, and at that time, I didn't really know what was going on for my senior year, and I just started losing a bunch of weight. I was having a hard time practicing, having a hard time playing, and so we go to the doctor, we kind of see what's going on, and got diagnosed with that, and that then led to a lot of time missed from school. I ended up missing 40 days of school my senior year. Yeah, it
was, consecutive or just throughout the whole year?
Because throughout the whole year, yeah.
Whoa,
so
that's
I was
a lot.
Going, As this is happening, I'm still playing like my football season, and this happened in the fall is when it really started. And out of the darndest thing, like I stubbed my toe in the morning, and I ended up playing a game later that day. My toe got infected after the game. It's bleeding everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
So I just go to my pediatrician or my primary care doctor and get an antibiotic, and they think the antibiotic triggered all that stuff to kind of happen. So
dang,
I ended up losing like 30 pounds within the next couple of weeks.
Jeez, I didn't know a body could do that.
Yeah, with that disease, I mean, everything kind of, like, I was not digesting food properly and, you know, in and out of the bathroom mm-hmm. several times a day. And it was, yeah, it was a really challenging time for me. And the biggest challenge that was sport was kind of taken away from me at that time. Mm. I kind of missed, you know, here I am thinking my senior year of high school, it's supposed to be like the best time of my life. And I'm supposed to enjoy this with all my friends, and I'm getting looks to go play at, you know, high collegiate schools, and I'm now like a shell of myself at that point, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it was a really big struggle, and I was hospitalized a lot, had a bunch of complications like blood clots, meningitis, pancreatitis.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, you kind of name it, it happened. And that was a time for me where there was a lot of, like, I didn't really understand what was happening, right? I'm 17 years old. Again, I'm thinking this stuff's not supposed to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I grew a really distant from God, and okay. I was really angry.
Yeah.
So fast forward, as I get into college, somehow I still managed to get into college. I went to Walsh again and playing baseball at Walsh, and I'm still getting treated for this, but I'm still not the same. And I then got to the point my sophomore year where I had to actually go back into the hospital for a whole nother month because things were just uncontrollable. I was having a flare up, and I ended up having to have surgery to remove my colon.
Whoa.
So that was three or four different surgeries over the course of the next 9 months. And again, another situation where baseball was taken away because I'm playing. And it was a really, really challenging time. And
was this like an identity thing for you? Like, I'm the athlete. I'm baseball. Like,
oh, absolutely.
So losing that.
And especially at that time, I'm thinking like, okay, that's kind of in the past now. But yeah, hugely an idol identity. And, you know, I can look at it now of like, okay, the Lord was doing something. But during that time, I mean, really dark place for me.
Because you kind of see it as your idol, like your hope and your future.
Yes.
My hope and my future is sports.
Yep.
And I don't know if you had like Major League Baseball dreams or anything like that, but no matter what, like college and a scholarship and all those things can really consume the chair that God should be sitting in.
Oh, absolutely. And and even like, I wouldn't even say professional baseball or anything like that. I was not that good. Mm. But it's just like, at that time, you're just like, this is all I have.
All consuming. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, I'm with my friends. I have my studies. I'm doing this. Like, I really want to continue to do this. So.
And let's be honest, we're like teenagers and we're pretty self-centric. And we're not very mature. Yep. So we're just like all consumed with ourselves and our success and our friends and our fun. And to have that ripped away in that way multiple times sounds very hard.
Yeah, so that was definitely a very big part of my life, just because that was like the first big trial that I went through, and I did not handle that well. Again, did not have my identity in Christ whatsoever. You know, but with everything, God always has a plan. That's where I met my wife, Kayla, was actually during that time in college. Funny thing, she actually met my parents for the first time in an intensive care unit.
I was thinking about your parents. As a mom now, I'm thinking if my child went through that, how gut-wrenching through high school, through college. I bet that was very hard on your parents.
Yeah, and it's actually something, as I was thinking through parts of my story, like I told them this a couple of years ago, I now understand kind of like what they went through. Just as they were kind of sitting in the room with me, like, what do you really say? Because it's hard. Sometimes there weren't any answers. It just, things were happening, and you know, there's nothing they can say to make me feel any different. So it was just a really hard time, and I remember like my dad sometimes just sitting there looking at me, and I'm like, why would he be doing that? And now I'm like, I get that. Yeah. Having two little girls, I kind of understand that piece of it. But anyways, I met Kayla during that time when I was in college. And, you know, she is just such a light. And, you know, even as I was in that place, like, I was not the easiest person to talk to. I mean, I was very egotistical. I kind of walked around with like a chip on my shoulder, mm-hmm. and you know, somehow, some way, she started talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the talking my junior year, and she was a freshman at that time, and so
you met at the hospital because she worked there, or was
no,
also
we met
there?
Actually met at college.
Oh, okay.
So she
sorry.
Was, yeah, she was okay. at Walsh University as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. and then. And then when I had my surgeries back up in Cleveland,
she met
being
parents.
From Cleveland area, yeah, she okay. met them there. So, but yeah, and during that time, like, she's the kind of the one I would say, like, think of like John the Baptist going before Jesus, mm-hmm. like as kind of the person before his ministry. You know, I think of Kayla, like Kayla was very much that for me. Like mm-hmm. she was somebody that brought me to kind of like a non-denominational church mm-hmm. and like started to say like, hey, you should come to church with me. Hey, you should check this out. Like, it's very different than the Catholic church. She grew up Catholic as well, but started going there when she was in grade school. And that was kind of the first time I really started hearing like what it was like to have a relationship
yeah.
with Christ.
Yes.
And that I should actually read the Bible.
Yeah, there's a whole different world out there.
Yeah, and I just, for me, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with anybody who's Catholic, but, like, for me, I never had the experience mm-hmm. of the relationship. It was all about you have to do better. And having my sports background mm. and my grades and that stuff, everything I looked at in life was performative.
Mm-hmm.
So that very much carried into my adult Whoa. Years as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, big time. Okay, so Kayla starts to introduce you to church. You're starting, did you like hook into that, or were you still like, oh, but we've got beef. I'm not so sure about this God thing.
So I think I was kind of just going along with the flow at that point. Nothing really became alive mm-hmm. at that moment in time. It was more of just I'm in, kind of investigating. That's mm-hmm. how I would look at it. Like, this is different than what I'm used
yeah.
to. Again, still kind of really struggling with this performative thing. My parents started to go as well during that time.
Mm.
So Kayla introduced my parents in the going. So we were kind of like consistently all kind of going to the same church.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really until we started to get serious with dating that I really started to look at, okay, hey, Jesus, you know, I believe in you, right? I believe that you died and you mm-hmm. you know, you raise yourself again for me and you died for my sins. Like, that's kind of like when that started to happen is when we were starting to get serious about dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was still in college or after graduation?
So no, so we were still in college dating. So we started dating actually would have been back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up getting married in 2015.
Okay.
So, and then in 2016, both of us got baptized.
Mm.
And I would even say, like, even at that moment, like, when we got baptized at Beulah Beach.
Whoa.
So we actually went to a different Grace Church, Grace CMA, over at Middleburg Heights.
That's where my mom goes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Does she still go there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got the family
oh, very
there.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we got married. And then I would
they
say
they do that festival or that summer picnic up at
yes.
Beulah Beach every
yes.
summer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, we definitely both, like, she even believed before that, but how I like to describe it is that we were believers, but we weren't followers.
Sure, that's a great way to put it.
So yeah, we were not really following Jesus, like, cuz at that point too, we get married, that happens, and then we move right away. So now we're moving. We moved to Pennsylvania because of my work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was a really, it was interesting because, like, how like, I look back at it now, it's like I accepted Jesus. Like, we're wanting to follow Jesus, but we did not know what to do. So we then moved. We did not have a church home. Like, when we were out there, we knew no one. We had mm. no community. And, again, just kind of going through the motions of things. And so we moved like every 2 years for the first couple of years of our marriage.
Wow.
We ended up getting into Columbus back in 2019. We moved there for my job. And then in Columbus, that's when, you know, 2020 happened, COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You're
new to a town yeah. and you're locked in your house. They're not building relationships
yes.
there.
No, and we have one kid at the time and mm-hmm. our second Hannah's on the way. So we're in this really interesting time where, again, we're super focused on our kids. We're really not focused on each other either. And then we're not really focused on the Lord either. So 2020, 2021, that time frame was really challenging for us. Our marriage really hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
I know, you know, going all the way back to the performative thing, I was looking at Kayla as if this, she's going to fulfill these expectations in my life that just weren't happening. I was looking at her as she's not performing.
Yeah.
Again, so selfish of me to even look at that way. And, you know, there is some other pain. There's pain I'm still dealing with. There's unhealed wounds that I have not dealt with either. And like I could say, like, I'm a big part of the reason for a lot of pain in my marriage. And it's something that, you know, it's happened, but it's definitely stuff that the Lord has redeemed and is working through.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that was really, really challenging for us, where we both had to look at each other and say, hey, we need to start looking at him and not each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or we might as well just get divorced.
Yeah.
Like what's the point? So, right. In Columbus, that's where we really started to find community. And then a couple of years later, 2022, is when we moved back up here. And we knew we had to find community.
Okay.
Because we did not have that. We were lacking that. All of our families up here. But when we moved up here, we're like, we have to find a home church. We need to find people. And we need to get plugged in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you do that? Did you move to the Akron area when you came back up? Was that your landing point?
Yeah, so we were looking... we were looking somewhere in the middle. Our parents both live on the opposite sides of town. Very convenient. So we ended up looking in the Richfield area, and there was a kind of a development going up, and this would have been our second house being built in 2 years in a lovely housing market. But
oof.
We ended up living with Kayla's parents for about 6 months while our house was being built.
There's another trial for you. Typically, I don't know, maybe you got great in-laws.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. We were just super appreciative and gracious that they allowed us to do that and not have to worry about trying to rent somewhere for those 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so our first time here was Easter 2022.
Okay.
And I remember, and again, this is another... when I think of like part of our story where like, where you hear very vividly, like God speaking to you, like walking out of here, Easter 2022, I saw Donnie Varney on the screen, and he's a sports ministry pastor. I'm like, who has a sports ministry pastor? And I'm seeing stuff about Grace Race. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally like could see us being here. And I could totally see us being connected in here and being like super involved with sports.
Why did you even show up at Grace specifically?
So Kayla was researching churches like that were near where we were going to live, and Grace had a lot of great reviews. We talked with some people down in Columbus who knew the area as well, and they recommended trying out Grace. So we came here first. Jeff was preaching at the time, and I walked out of here and I was like, Kayla, this is our church. This is our church. And again, it's one of those feelings like it's the Holy Spirit that just kind of like put that just on your heart, like it was hard to really describe. And the funny thing is with all of this is the amount of things that had to happen for us to be in the house that we're in. Kayla had to respond to an email in the matter of seconds to get on like the first list of people to be notified, because it was a very competitive development. And again, God allowed that, right? She was like number two.
Whoa.
And we were able to get into the housing that we wanted to be in. And because who knows, we might not have moved back up here during that time if that didn't happen, just because the market started to really change around that time. So, but yeah, meanwhile, she's kind of, I don't really know how you know that or think that. I was like, I'm telling you, it's a feeling that I have from the Lord that this is going to happen.
I will never get tired of hearing people say that on Unscripted. It's my favorite sentence to hear. This is home now. If you need me on a Sunday, this is where I'm going to be. You know, I love that.
Yep. So, I would say like, so during that time, like, you know, as I started to really explore like what it was like to be in community. Same thing with Kayla. She was kind of doing the same thing. We were kind of doing it by ourselves, just with having two small kids. I mean, schedule-wise, it was just really challenging to do things together. So she was doing some things on the women's side. I was doing some things on the men's side. A really big part, of my story is a discipleship group I did back in 2022 with someone I worked with. His name's Joe, and we went through this. It was a biweekly group, and it was heavily involved in scripture. It was heavily involved in just reading different books, and really it's about, you know, figuring out what your spiritual gifts are, understanding like just who God is and what he is about and some of the assumptions that we make. And then how are we activated for the kingdom? So it's a very long kind of study, but that was really probably the one of the bigger parts of my story where I was like, okay, I see these gifts. I see how you want to use me, Lord. Now use me.
Sounds a little rooted-ish. Is it?
It was.
It was rooted heavy version, or
yeah, it was a heavier version of rooted. So, and it was all just because we had people kind of all over the country that were going through it. So it was all done over Zoom. I know we all love our Zoom, but it was done over Zoom, and there were some like in person things that we would do. But it was 2 hours every 2 weeks, and really the work was done in between that. But yeah, it was heavily into the rhythms that we talked about during Rooted.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So if anybody's listening and they haven't done Rooted yet, highly recommend. It's a book study that Grace went through recently collectively. And we are going to continue to do that ongoingly because it was so impactful for so many people. And it talks, yes, about seven rhythms and more. But yeah, all rooted in community as well. And so you've used that word a whole bunch. I'm curious to hear how that continues to grow for you.
Yeah, so one of the things when I came up here for myself, I was like, I need to meet men that are Christians, that are walking with the Lord, that I could really learn from, because I didn't have any really friends that are followers of Jesus. So what I started to do, and at the time I didn't even want to do it, I started playing basketball. So my biggest entry point into a Grace was, beside the weekend service, was playing morning hoops.
A football player converted to basketball?
Well, you see more of a football player on the basketball court than an actual basketball player.
There are not a lot of pickup football games lying around for people our age either. So.
No, I have no business being on the basketball court with some of the guys that play in the morning here at Grace. So, but yeah, I was playing at Montrose. The gym was not done yet. Yeah. And that's when I started to meet some guys from Grace, Adam Knapp, Mike Basnick. Some of them come to mind, Ryan Cummins, and that's really where I started to grow in the fellowship with them, and I think get together with them outside of even basketball and start to just explore, like, hey, what does it look like to be discipled by somebody and start to grow in relationship there? And that was really, again, a really big part for me. And, you know, sports is such a big thing, but I'm just like, okay, sports, I want to do this, but I'm doing it now for a different reason.
Yeah.
So I was on this hunt for godly men is what I was really on the
hunt for. And turns out you hand people a basketball and that happens.
Oh yeah. You hand people a basketball, like you will meet all kinds of people, right? Some people that, you know, don't even know the Lord, and some people that are on fire for the Lord. It's just awesome that we do stuff like that.
Wow. Cool. Okay, so you started with hoops. You started meeting guys, and had that go deeper.
Yeah, so from there, I started to get connected with the, you know, different men, you know, within our retreats, our 2x2 groups, our men's Bible studies, and, you know, just started to just explore some of those other things as a way to just meet other people, right? I'm thinking, how do I continue to just, you know, find the people that I'm going to connect with. So I think both, like, going to the Wild at Heart retreats were just both very impactful.
Yeah.
Again, as I start to just wrestle through my past and wrestle through, you know, some of the things I struggled with, and I think let go a lot of the things and surrendered them to the Lord. And it was really during that time, I would say 2022 to, you know, 2024 is when really a lot of that stuff really took shape. For me, and I, you know, I see it now that, you know, the Lord was definitely preparing, you know, also just thinking about like how Joseph was really prepared for all those moments in the Old Testament, and the Lord always had a plan of like, hey, I'm kind of getting you ready for this, and you just never know like what you're going to do. You can't see that at that time. So I'm like, so yeah, doing that, and I started to get involved with game day. I had an officiating background. So I'm like, hey, I'd love to serve in this way. I'd love to be a part of it, just serving with the kids. And then that, of course, just like how things happen at Grace, like, oh, well, do you want to lead the officials?
You're now in charge.
Yeah, you're now in charge of the officials. And it's like, oh, okay, this is great.
Yeah.
But again, like when I think back to that Easter 2022, like this is the type of stuff that like the Lord was like, you're going to be there. Like, I just have
that
a
was
feeling.
Your dream, your wheat, bowing to the wheat dream that Joseph had with his brothers. You're just like, but when and why and how and waiting for it as you're being prepared.
Yep.
That's amazing. Okay. So what was he preparing you for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So so during that time as well, so as Kayla's getting plugged into things and, you know, we're both now looking at each other and we're saying, you know, hey, when are we going to start kind of doing ministry together? Like, what does that look like besides our kids, besides, you know, us praying for our three, besides, you know, our neighbors and stuff like that? So we're like, I think the Lord's asking us to lead a life group. And, you know, we took a marriage course that we took, and there was five other couples in there, and the women from that marriage group all went on a retreat together.
The women's retreat or just they did
the
their
women's
own
retreat.
Thing? Oh, okay,
the
cool.
The women's retreat. They went on the women's retreat, and then after it was the marriage course, the women's retreat, and then we came back after, and pretty much it was like, yeah, we're going to start a life
this
group.
This is it. These are our people.
Yeah, so these are our people. And that's where it started, and then it grew from there.
Yeah, because you were just randomly placed in this marriage class?
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
All random, and some of the people were like just recently back into the area. We all were kind of at similar points within Grace.
Yeah, that's the magic recipe right there.
Yeah, and it wasn't, and we had some different ages too, which I thought was really cool. Mm-hmm. So kids were at different ages, but we, you know, the Lord just met us there and he like really, you know, predained that to us be together. So we started a life group. That would have been September 2024.
Mm.
So we're in this life group, and Kayla and I, we don't know exactly what we're doing. Right? We're figuring it out. You know, during that time as well, the Lord was really starting to put it on my heart that, like, hey, this isn't just a outside of work thing. This is a at work thing.
Yeah.
So in the marketplace where I was working at IGS Energy, I was working, I did sales and customer service. I was there for 12 years. And as I was there, you know, myself and some of the other guys that were there that are followers of Jesus were like, hey, we really need to try to start something at our workplace.
Okay.
And that was, we're a privately held company. We are, you know, a company that has employee resources groups, and a lot of the employee resources groups are for whether it be Latinx groups, Melanin Moments groups, LGBTQ plus, all of that stuff kind of. And so, you know, for me and some of our other people there were like, well, for us, it's about being a Jesus follower.
Yeah.
Right. And as we're trying to figure that out, right? Not doing it perfectly, but we're like, we really think that this space is needed. So I remember very vividly being in a meeting with like our vice president of our brand and just being drilled with questions like, well, what are you going to do with this group? Like, what's the purpose of it? And I don't really even remember what I said because we prayed right before that time and the Holy Spirit really just took over and God opened up doors. Like, he softened hearts. He allowed this group to happen. And it was an official group where we got sponsored dollars to use for a budget.
Wow.
It's still going now. There was over 130 people that are in this group, and people are talking about Jesus at work. And it's just amazing, like, what he did.
This is like an on-site, in-person. You guys reported to an office.
Yeah,
here in Northeast
Ohio. Yeah, and there is a lot of people that are virtual. But yeah, it's on our website. It's it's all of these things, which is just really, really cool. And that he even opened that up. So I share that because, like, part as I was, you know, working on what it means to follow Jesus, part that was really something he started to really put on my heart. Like, hey, this isn't just a Grace Church thing. This isn't just a neighborhood thing. It's all inclusive, right? It's a holistic thing, right? He wants all of you. So, and it's just been amazing, like what he's done in that space. And so yeah, Kayla and I are leading a life group imperfectly, right? We're figuring it out as we're doing it. You know, I have I've been blessed with just leadership skills and stuff throughout my marketplace job and stuff like that. But, you know, leading people in this way, very different,
yeah.
Right? You have to...
Like different righteous training, you
well,
know,
it's
and
very
higher
different.
Stakes
yes.
of leadership.
Higher stakes, more grace, more mercy, right? And it's... we're in this together, right? It's like no one's perfect at this, right? We're all trying to follow Jesus imperfectly together. So, you know, we're figuring that out. And that was something as we were like, hey, if we're going to be in this area, let's open up our home. The Lord has gifted us this beautiful home that we have. And let's open this up for people. Let's open it up for community. So we're leading through that. And it would have been... almost a year ago now, last year, which was a really, really big shock. I found out that I was going to lose my job.
Whoa. You said 13 years there, right?
Almost 12.
Okay.
Just over 12.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dang.
So, yeah, I would say up until that point, things were moving in a really good direction, right? We were very comfortable. My job's going well. Kayla is doing really well. We're working on our marriage. We're working on our life group. Everything is moving in a direction, right? And then this happens.
Whoa.
So it was May 8th of 2025.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it just happened. I remember I was in a meeting, and my boss put a meeting on my calendar and said, hey, we are selling the product that you're supporting, and we're not retaining you, and we're not retaining anybody else.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Huge shock. And if I back up a little bit, in February of that year, the Lord started to really put this tension on my heart. He started to really to press in of, hey, I think I want you to be doing something different. And so I started to explore that. I actually... So kind of the first time I told Kayla about that, it would have been the end of February. Like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
And she, her answer was like, I was waiting for you to say this.
Whoa.
Waiting for you. And I'm like, well, I don't even know what that is. She goes, well, I think I know exactly what it is. It's that the Lord wants you to go in the ministry.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, well, I don't know about that yet. I'm just, of course, me just being insecure about things. So I started kind of having conversations with Pastor Nate. Me and him started, I called him, and we were able to actually talk pretty quickly right after that. And you know, it was an exploratory conversation.
This is before May 8th.
This is way before, yeah.
Oh,
this
my
is
gosh.
3 months before that. So it is, he's like, well, what do you think this is? And I was like, I don't know. I looked at my marketplace job as a ministry. Like, that's how I looked at it. It's like, okay, I want to try to share Jesus with as many people as possible. I pray for people, like, on the spot with my team. Like, those things are happening. But I'm just like, it just wasn't it. You know, it's really hard to put it in the words. So that starts happening. And then in April, we were going through a series.
I remember it.
Selfless.
April 7th.
Yep.
2025.
Yep. Selflessness. And Jeff starts talking. Well, he said, well, I'm going to kind of change years.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I feel like there's this holy restlessness that's going on. And I'm like, he's like, that's exactly what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Exactly what I'm feeling. And just the whole having a greater impact on of your life and it having an internal impact on your life. I'm like, yep. He is talking. I remember, I think I was sweating the entire time.
He's
my
like,
heart was
get
like,
out of my diary, Jeff.
Oh, that was it. I think I was actually sitting in the front row too, and like I could not move.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, my heart's pounding. So it was just, again, another moment right around the same time. If you go back to April 2022, Easter, it's in a very similar period of time.
Ugh. Just like we are now, this rebirth, renewal.
Yes, exactly. It's really nuts. And I mean, it's not. It's God. But
right. That's a good phrase.
Just as he's kind of going through all those things, like it was very much, I mean, I check the, I'm going to go and explore this. So went to a meeting like a week later. And at that time, you know, Jeff said something very profound at that meeting. He said, hey, sometimes the Lord might just be asking you to double down on your current ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's not calling you in the full-time ministry. So I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do, Lord. Like, if I'm kind of absent from something, like, I want to get 100% all back in. Like, I want it all, like, mm-hmm. convict me of that. So I, you know, started to do that, right? So work ministry, life group, you know, and Kayla and I started going through, we were piloting the Jesus community as mm-hmm. well, that model. So mm-hmm. like, we're trying to figure that out. So we're going through all of those things. And then, so that was in April, mm-hmm. the second week of April. And then in May, then that's when I found that out about my job.
Come on, God.
So it's just like.
He's flexing.
So yeah. And you know, it's so funny because I found out on a Thursday that I was losing my job. We had life group that night, and Kayla looked at me, and like, of course, we're both wrecks, and she's like, "Do you want to still have life group?" I said, "Yes, we have to."
Yeah.
Right. We're with our people.
This is the point of it.
This is the exact point, and like, we didn't have that when we had issues, mm-hmm. right, in our marriage, when we did not have community, but now we have people, right, and it was just a really amazing night, and it's not like that changed a lot of stuff, but you know, you did feel safe with the people that you were with, and that they could pray for you. They could, of course, they kind of know what's going on at this point with the stirring that I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Tim, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's a sign." Mm-hmm. And I was just scared. Like, mm-hmm. I really was. I was scared. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I haven't felt this before. So then that was a series of conversations after that. And another funny thing about May 8th was even before that, I scheduled another meeting with Pastor Nate as a follow-up. So that was we talked on May 4th to schedule it for May 13th. So I got an answer to something before May 13th.
Yes.
And that's kind of like a theme within
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
So, and then a really, I think a point I just wanted to pivot for a second, that during this time, I am, as well as with a bunch of other men, we're going through a freedom session, which was like a discipleship group, but it's more into how to be wholehearted, how to heal from past. And so it's very deep study, very, very deep study. And it was definitely something that when I look at the timing of me going through that and saying yes to do that, it was definitely the Lord preparing, like, sure. Hey, we need to deal with some of the stuff yeah. here and some of the past and really, really heal through that. So yeah, it was just amazing that was mm-hmm. happening all along this exact same period of mm-hmm. time as well. So then in June, Nate and I started talking a little bit more about like what this could kind of look like and what I could even see myself doing, you know. And sports is obviously something that really pops off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love sports. I love what sports is about. I love what we do here at Grace with sports, how we bring people together. But it's not about necessarily the sport, right?
Right.
It's
give them the ball and teach them Jesus.
Yes. It's about bringing people together mm-hmm. who don't know Jesus, and it's about using this as a vehicle to share him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then during this period of time, you know, I'm still working, right? So I still have this transitional period
okay.
that I was going until, I actually really didn't know the date until later in the fall. So when I was in, as this is all happening, as I'm talking with Nate, as I'm talking with some of the other pastors, I'm still like, I don't know if this is going to work itself out for Grace or for me, for all of us, right? So I'm applying for jobs, I should
yeah.
say. So I applied for two jobs internally at IGS. One was a past job, didn't even get it. I used to do the job. I was very successful at it.
Shut down. Interesting.
Yeah, a door shut, didn't even make it to the final interview.
Mm-hmm.
Really bizarre. And I'm applying for about 60 external jobs, no mm-hmm. interview. Like, I had one interview with an external company, and then that was it. So that's all happening throughout this period of time. And so the one of the jobs internally that I applied for, I was interviewing for the second time on September 12th. September 13th, I had another meeting with Nate and Joe. And I'm thinking, okay, am I really fully all in on this?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I was like, Lord, I don't know. Like, do you want me to have this job at the marketplace? Do you want me to stay here and continue to build like what's been built?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to be a part of that? or like, you know, I just felt weird coming into a conversation with Nate and Joe if we're going to continue this and I'm still in this application process.
Yeah.
Well, I found out that day I wasn't moving on.
Wow.
So again, the Lord answers a prayer very clear before I'm ahead of a meeting mm-hmm. in September. So, and then same thing, kind of, I interviewed for another job in October and that was turned down, didn't get it. I was meeting with Jim a little bit later that week mm-hmm. on those things. And then really the final kind of time was I was really still up in the air in November as we go to the men's retreat. And Kayla and I really took time. We fasted ahead of the retreat and just mm-hmm. for the Lord to just be super clear that during that time, like he would reveal something. And it was really special too because I was there with about 14, 15 other guys that had been journeying through life over the past couple of years. And we were all in the cabin together. And it was just really neat because during that time, during one of the sessions, it was a session on adventure and about how like this next adventure, like, you know, God's still with you no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I got so much clarity during that time. And then even after the fact, and I'm talking with Vinny Fisher and I'm talking with him throughout these last 9 months about like what this could look like. And I just remember him praying with me and it was just a very revealing clarity moment. And then I was asked to be on this panel that was kind of out of nowhere. And that's actually when I revealed to all the men, like I'm going in the full-time ministry.
Whoa.
And again, nothing's settled. Nothing is happened, but I'm mm-hmm. like, I know that this is where the Lord's leading yeah. me. And then that following Wednesday, I had a meeting with Jeff, Joe, and Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of the same theme, the Lord just putting clarity on my heart ahead of important kind of time mm-hmm. and meetings and stuff like that. So yeah, and I started on January 1st as the sports ministry director.
Whoa.
So
was that it the whole time? Was it like, yeah. we're going to do sports ministry with this? Or was there an exploration of a variety of things?
Yeah.
How did you get there?
Yeah, so that was all kind of part of the process with like even just thinking about like what this could look like. I didn't know if it was pastoral. I knew it wasn't like, I did not feel the Lord was saying like, hey, I want you to go preach on Sundays. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't about that at all. It was more of, hey, I want you to take these leadership skills and gifts that you've been kind of given in the marketplace. And I want you to bring them to, you know, kind of into the church, mm-hmm. right? And take some of the things you've been learning, leading people and kind of bring that kind of all together. Sports was just one of those things where, you know, at that time, Nate was overseeing sports ministry and sports ministry was going through quite a bit of a transition
mm-hmm.
with, you know, Pastor Donnie moving on. And
how did that fit into this timeline?
Yeah, so Pastor Donnie moved on back in, I believe that would have been September 2024.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but sure. I believe that's right around the same yeah. time. And so Nate's kind of seeing, okay, what does sports really need?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we need a pastor? You know, and Nate's very methodical with that, right? He's very thoughtful. He's very reflective and strategic. And so as that time's elapsing, as I'm starting to have conversations with him there, I think that's really where things started to think about like, well, could it be more of a director? Is that mm-hmm. what's needed? Is it more of a focus on our sports programs, continuing to make sure that there's a health there? And then how do we continue to grow those and build those
mm-hmm.
And see which ones make sense? Like, is the stuff that we're continuing to doing still working,
mm-hmm.
right? Or is it time for kind of like some fresh vision there?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, did a couple exercises as well and kind of was looked at like, hey, I think like, this is a good fit for you. So it's not something that there weren't like four other candidates or anything like that. It was
yeah.
like, hey, this is the timing of sports, like needing somebody and then myself yeah. being at that point.
Right. Like very clearly ordained over the course of months
yes.
of study of deep time with the Lord, first mm-hmm. and foremost,
yeah.
right?
Oh, very much.
What do we call the podcast around here? Led first, lead second.
Yes.
Definitely led first, friends. If you're hearing this, like, get yourself led, meaning read the Bible on your own, study, explore, find a group of people, go into that depth, whatever it looks like for you. Just do that first, and that preparation work between you and the Lord is first and foremost. And then all the other preparations, some, many of which are out of our control, but that one is squarely in our control. Nobody can do that for you. And all those parts that you took control of, and then all the parts that others just laid on the mantle before you to step into, just came together for good.
Yes, very much so. And it's, you know, as that stuff's happening, right, we're now transitioning to what this could look like within, you know, ministry life. It's different, right? And we've been blessed that, you know, my company had, you know, taking care of us for a period of time, mm-hmm. which was really, really gracious. Again, all the Lord's timing with that. And, you know, Kayla and I are thinking, okay, probably we might need the move, right? Need to downsize our mm-hmm. home a little bit. And, you know, our hearts are kind of surrendered to that. And mm-hmm. then we meet with our financial advisor and we sit down. The first thing he says is, don't move.
Mm.
You don't need the move. And just Kayla's going to go back and work at the hospital more on like a full-time basis starting here in the summer
mm-hmm.
and then into the fall. And with how finances worked itself out and her position, like that's another blessing. You know, she's been working at a school at Heritage in early childhood. And she's been doing that Monday through Friday. Felt very called to doing that, but she still has this PRN nursing job position.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, just keep it. You never know, like, when if you might need that. You never know how this is going to work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's in a position where, hey, she can pick up at 9 different hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the Lord's hand on all of that stuff and provision. Just as we move back up to the area, she gets this job. She's only working really as needed
mm-hmm.
a couple times a schedule. So.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Just all the way surrounded and united, it sounds like, as well, because that's a calling that has mm-hmm. to be united.
Oh, very much so. I mean,
because the other thing you're ordained in is your marriage.
Yep.
So,
and she's been the constant cheerleader. Like, she's the person from the very beginning. He's like, Tim, this is clear as day. Like, why can't you see that? I said, well, you know this. I'm stubborn. Like, I just want to wrestle through something and I want to fully know. And like, I second guess. And especially when it's something like this. And the other part that was on my heart, which, again, as I was discerning who's this from and where's this from, and that's where I seeked a lot of counsel from, not only the Lord, but other godly men,
mm-hmm.
was, you know, we moved a lot because of my job. And now Kayla's in a position at her school. She really enjoys that. And now me, if I'm going to do this, part of that gig for now is she's going to go back to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those of you that are not in the hospital or medical, mm-hmm. it's not really the best environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I want her to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, and then I'm like, okay, I've definitely had my moments in my marriage and right, let her down. And now I'm going to do this. And is this selfish of me mm-hmm. to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to have a lot of time and work through that. And for us to have a lot of like conversations like, hey, this is what we're signing up for.
Mm-hmm.
If this is what we're doing, like we both have to be lockstep 100%, no doubts whatsoever that we're doing it. And again, she's just been the constant cheerleader. And I just, that's why I love her so much.
Yeah. Well, she sounds easy to love. That's amazing. Okay, so you started January 1st.
Yes.
And what's your favorite bright spot so far?
Oh, boy. So I started right when game day started and right when Rooted started.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Oh, that was chaotic. That was a chaotic time.
Oh, very much so. So it was learning all the stuff about the new role, learning, okay, now you're on staff with game day and supporting that and you know, working with the team. Luckily, I volunteered with the team so much. Like, they kind of knew who I was,
mm-hmm.
right? And we had a relationship built. But obviously, it's different now when you're working with people. It's just the relationship changes,
absolutely.
Even though you don't want that to change. Mm-hmm. So that happening, and then also, like, there's this big charge with Rooted, right? And, you know, my wife and I we're leading Rooted, we're coaching Rooted. So I actually don't even remember January through March. I just know that we survived.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Kayla's involved on Wednesday nights with life group as well. So like we had like ships passing through the night. We're coaching at game dates with one another. So, I mean, it was a blast. Like we had fun. Both of our kids are playing game day. So okay. It's just like, that was awesome. But then we have, you know, people on Thursday at our home and a really amazing thing. Like our life group at that time, it like multiplied three times. Whoa. Because we had people, we had two groups from, we had some people from our life group go into Rooted and a couple lead and then a couple couples went with them.
Mm-hmm.
If I just said that right.
couples.
Yeah. And then there was another couple as well who felt very called to lead a Rooted group. And then there was a couple other people that went with them too. So then we all then had newer people that would join our group.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing because as exhausting as all that stuff was, you know, you had people come to know Christ. You had somebody who's willing, wanting to get baptized. You had people that are from our neighborhood that are now in our group.
That's
and
amazing.
It was just awesome, like what the Lord was mm-hmm. doing and preparing for all of that. So while that was so exhausting, it still was so
energizing.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And it's like, yes. Okay, this is why we're doing this, right? Yeah. And so I would say, just learning my role, a funny highlight or more highlight was just, you know, I remember I would reach out to Nate and be like, hey, like, you guys need any help with some of the Rooted stuff? Like, I dabbled in Excel and all this other stuff. He goes, we need everybody who's willing to help. So, like, jumped in there. And I mean, I was locked in the library for about 2 days. So, so just, like, learning that.
There were thousands of names to
figure
out.
Yeah, thousands of names.
So.
And, again, the really cool part was I got to work with people that I probably wouldn't have worked with right away. Mm. So it was cool just to build relationships.
It was a very interdepartmental,
yes.
all hands on deck experience.
Yeah. So it was funny. It was great. It was exhausting all at the same time. But yeah, it's been great so far. And I've really just enjoyed just being in an office setting again. I was virtual for a very long time. Mm. So just being together with people in an office is just mm-hmm. really cool. It's really mm-hmm. awesome. And yeah, it's been great.
And there's an athlete in you.
Mm-hmm.
And these skills, these talents, these gifts that we have, they can be a shadow side, right? And sometimes we're looking at ourselves, we're performative, and it yep. swings a little too far. And then when you really use them in their strength, though, it brings out everything that you're doing for this program and for this church and all the past year that you endured and overcame and tested and tried. And that's the good side of that competitor in you and that athlete that mm-hmm. is going to play to win and
yep.
and then give that to others too.
Yep.
Man. Wow. Okay, so visions for the future. Do you dare to have them at this point?
Yeah, so I would say just a couple of the things that, like, I think our groups do an amazing job unapologetically sharing Jesus with people. Like, it's amazing, like, what we do with whether it be basketball, whether it be game day, women's fitness, you know, pickleball, our disc golf community. Like, we have so many different ways that people can come together, bring community together, and then we're able to do that. So, you know, something I think about with sports is like, sports is very, like, it's not really seasonal, right? It's consistent.
Yeah.
It is, like, I actually
sure.
just looked, like, we have 8 current things happening
Whoa.
Within, so that's leaders that are, you know, actively weekly, in a weekly rhythm or a daily rhythm with their ministry. So that's, you know, 20 to 30 people per ministry. So there's a lot of things that are happening. So what I think about is just how do we continue to develop leaders in that space? How do we continue to ensure that we're equipping them for those spaces, right?
Right, absolutely.
And how do we just continue to get better at integrating people into Grace or into other ministries? You know, I'm a prime example, entered in the basketball and then kind of moved into the small group space
mm-hmm.
Very much so. So, like, how do we help shepherd that and how do we do that well? Mm-hmm. Those are things I think about because we do a great job getting people here for those things, but then how do we get them connected mm-hmm. elsewhere?
Sounds like you and Mark Steller. Lincoln Arms running out into the world.
Mark, and it's Mark has been amazing friend, amazing mentor. He's someone when I randomly texted a one Sunday. I randomly texted the number just to get connected with somebody, and we got paired up, and we went to lunch, and we could have talked all day.
Yeah.
And we just have very similar stories.
Yeah.
He's been a huge influence throughout this process as well, just from coming from the marketplace into full-time ministry and kind of like all the things that it is and all the things, the realities of it, which is good, right? You need the truth of it.
Yeah. Working where you worship. It's not always easy.
Yeah. No, it's not. So, it's been a really, really cool. So.
And if anybody doesn't know Mark Steller, you can get to know him because he has an unscripted episode out in the world as well. Gosh, it's been a couple of years since we did that one. So scroll back if you're listening now. Mm-hmm. After you finish this one up, scroll back and listen to Mark's as well. And it's so cool to see parallels. I'd have to listen to it again. But now that we just brought his name up, I was like, dang, yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys had some similar stuff going on there. And God is just so personal and so intimate to care for each one of us in that way. Usher us into spaces we never would have dreamed. A year ago, when you got that conversation, you're losing your job, would you have thought that you'd be sitting here talking about this right now?
No, not at all. Not at all. And he has a plan. And I remember just listening to that song, Good Plans, like on repeat, because I'm just like, what is the plan? Because I am not a patient person by any means. Mm-hmm. And, walking through this and walking through just different things in my life, you see it now, like sports was an idol and now he redeems it. I want you to continue to do this. Yes.
Like this is part of you and I made you perfectly.
And I want you to still utilize this, but I want you to utilize it differently.
Yes.
So it's just, and it's so funny. I tell people, even some of my friends who are not followers or believe in Jesus, they're like, oh, Tim, that's like a perfect role for you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, huh. Like, it just makes you think about things like that. Like, people can peg you in some of those ways. So.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier, you said it's not nuts, it's God. And I love that because this is nuts. All of this is nuts, but it's not nuts.
Yeah.
It's God.
Yep.
This story really reminds me of that sermon a year ago when we talked about if you're feeling called into full-time ministry. So you've been through that, and there might be a listener now who is feeling that too, and wondering what that could possibly look like and feeling like it's an impossibility for them. So we have an email address here. It's unscripted@graceohio.org. And if you write to that email address, we can get you connected to Tim, to any of the people he talked about, somebody on staff, me, anybody you'd want to talk to, if that's something that you feel drawn to. Tim, you open to that? Talking to people?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love the journey through that and just talk through that because it's probably not just a one and done conversation. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. So cool. Well, you mentioned Good Plans, and we have a worship playlist with Grace Unscripted because I do find a lot of parallels with worship. You know, you hear worship songs and the lyrics hit, and it's like another, I don't want to say another form of the Bible, but so many worship songs are scripture to music, which is super cool, whether we realize it or not. I mean, you can even study that, right? It's so much to it. But that's why we do this. So if you go on Spotify, if you're a listener here, it's called the Unscripted Worship playlist on Spotify, and you get to add a song to it.
Awesome.
What are you picking?
I'm probably going to pick that one.
Good Plans. Yeah. All right. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Good Plans. I'm just thinking of what the song, like what the bridge is or the thing that we repeat. Can you tell us any part of it?
Oh, geez. You don't want to hear me.
Sometimes we have to hum it to ourselves to even remember.
No, I generally have to listen to it and then know what the lyrics are. But
I know my father has good plans for me because I know my father and I know my father has good plans for me.
Yep.
You know, it's personal.
Yeah, it's very personal.
So good.
Yep.
Well, I want to know your wife more after hearing this story too. Mm-hmm. She sounds, I mean, I've met her, in meetings and things like that, but I don't know her,
Yeah.
And I want to know her because she sounds like she probably has a story too.
Oh yes, very much so. And she's an amazing, amazing mom, amazing wife.
Mm-hmm.
Friend, nurse, I mean, you name it, she's done. I mean, that's part of her calling too. She wound up working at a school that you knew her, like, growing, like, as we were, like, in our marriage and stuff like that, she would have never worked at a school and gave back like that. She just wouldn't. I mean, she'd tell you the same thing. And mm-hmm. it's all the Lord. It's mm-hmm. all the Holy Spirit, and it's all the change that he does in it, in us mm-hmm. and through us, and just amazing.
So good. Well, I'm glad he put you two together and put you guys yes. both here at Grace Church.
Yes.
And he's got good plans, so I'm excited to hear what happens next. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, you're welcome.